This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome to this week's Parsha Shem. So this week's Parsha is Parsha Shmini. And what I've got here, it's pretty much will take up the whole of the Shir. I've got a second idea, just a little thing at the end. But it's really the story of Nadav and Avihu. It's a well-known story, but I've always wanted to go through this properly in Shir. And we're not even going to go through it properly. I've taken out the key points of the Michtav Melio. But we'll explore it and we'll see a very interesting essay from Rav Dessler. The parsha begins Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, and the opening episode really talks about the death of Nadav and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron HaKohen. And the difficulty is that Chazal give a lot of different reasons why they actually died. And the Michtav Melio lists them. And he lists 15 different reasons that the Gemara and the Midrashim say. And what he'll do is he'll find one central theme, one root cause. And it's a fascinating piece in the Michtav Melio. So let's explore it together. So if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. So the first box, let's just start from the Pesukim. So Vayikra Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph. Vayikchu bnei Aaron Nadav Avihu. Ish machtosai vayitnu bohen eish. So the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, take their fire pan and they put fire on it, vayasimoleh kateres, and they put the incense, vayakrivu lifnei Hashem eish zora. And they offer up this strange fire, this eish zora, asher lo tziva eisom, which they were not commanded to do. So that's what the posuk describes. Vateitze eish lifnei Hashem, and fire comes out, vateichal eisom, Vayomusu lifnei Hashem, and fire consumes them, and Nadav and Avihu die. Vayomer Moshe Aaron, Hu Asher Dibra Hashem Lemer Bikrovei Ekodesh. Moshe says to Aaron, "That's what Hakadosh Baruch Hu told me. Bikrovei Ekodesh, through my close ones, I will become sanctified." Vapnei Kol Hame Kovet Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron famously responds with silence. Vayidom Aaron. The Chofetz Chaim says, "Why Vayidom?" There are many other words to describe silence. Vayecherash, vayishkait. Vayidoim is related to the word doimim. Doimim means an inanimate object. So vayidoim Aaron suggests that he was like an inanimate object. He was expressionless. He didn't have a grimace on his face. So vayidoim Aaron, he was totally silent and didn't display the upset and the anger. He was so in control of his emotions. Next pasuk, vayikra Moshe Mishael, v'leil tzofen b'nei Uziel doid Aaron. Aaron HaKohen asks these two people, his uncles, his cousins, Vayom Aleim Kirvu Sues Achecha Meis Pnei HaKodesh Michutz LaMachaneh, and they'll deal with the kvura of Nadav and Avihu. Now, says the Michtav Melio, this is in Chelek Beis on page 244. Kol Divrei HaTorah, says Rav Dessler, Hein Shebichsav, Hein Shebalpeh. All aspects of Torah, whether it's Torah Shebichsav, whether it's Torah Shebalpeh, Nemru B'tachlis Ha'emes Hamduyekes Ve'en Bohem Melitzes Haloshen Shelotis Hamena B'diuk L'metzius. It's all accurate. Every single word is conveying an important point. There's no hyperbole. There's no sort of exaggeration. Omru Chazal B'nis Bnei Aaron B'krevei HaKodesh. And about the death of Nadav and Avihu, the Torah describes it as Bekreva Ekodesh, through my close ones, I will become sanctified. Omele Moshe Aaron, Aaron, Achi, now this is what Rashi brings on this pasuk. Moshe said to Aaron, Achi, my dear brother, Yodea Hoyisi Sheyiskadesh Habayis B'myuduav Shalmakim. I knew that on the day of the Chanukas HaMishkan, the house, the Mishkan in other words, is going to be sanctified through those who are close, who know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Voyisi Sovar, Oybi Oybach, who are the greatest in the generation, it's me or you. So I knew that either you or I were going to sort of not survive the Chanukah Samishkan. Achshav Reya Ani Shehim Gedolim Imeni Omeka. And now I know that they, Nadav and Avihu, are greater than you and I. That's what Rashi brings on this Pasuk. Says the Michtav Melio, Lo Bim Dimyonis Nichim Es Aaron. He wasn't comforting Aaron with hot air, with the illusions. Elemetzias mamashi. He was being real. Heim gedolim mimeni umemeka. Nadav and Avihu were greater than Moshe and Aaron. Kach heidu mishemayim sheyesh bechina bohem hoyim gedolim yosim Moshe and Aaron. That means it was true. They were greater than Moshe and Aaron. Next paragraph. V'yesh oid l'shtaymim al gudulasit kasom. And you want to be even more to be amazed at the greatness of their righteousness. Take a look, he says, Ayin Zohar Achrimus. Take a look in the Zohar in Achrimus. And this is what it says. Bechol zimna de tzadikaya mistalke me'alma. Every time a tzadik takes leave of this world, dina istalik me'alma. Some harsh judgment also leaves the world. And the death of tzaddikim atones for the liabilities of the generation. And this parsha of the talking about the sons of Aaron, we lay it on Yom Kippur, and we have a kapara lechaved Israel, that it should be a kapara for all the liabilities of Klal Yisrael. Not of Aviu bil Chodayu shukulin have the Kabbal Shivin Sanhedrin have Meshamshin Kmei Moshe or begin kach misasim mechapar Yisrael, because they're equal to the whole of the Sanhedrin to have a treleish takhu kvasay Yisrael. But you don't find two like this in the whole of Klal Yisrael. So clearly the Zohar is talking in very very generous terms about Nodav and Avihu. We lay in the parsha of Nodav and Avihu on Yom Kippur as a kapara. Not just then, but now. You don't find two people like that in the whole of Klal Yisrael. Says the Michtam Elio, Biaru lanu shemises nodav avihu loyrak shekipra adoyram. Not only did it mechape, did it atone for them in their generation, and she'ad hayoy mechaperesi al Klal Yisrael b'chol dar v'dar. That in every generation, the death of nodav navihu, which we read on Yom Kippur, is an atonement. Ze kama alofim shana. This is going back 300+ years. It should be a kapara so many centuries later. And yet, nevertheless, and despite the greatness which we've just described, Chazal have listed many criticisms, many chatoim that they committed. So how do we square that? How do we square the fact that Chazal listed many indictments against them, and yet they were considered gedolim in Moshe Aaron, they were even greater than Moshe Aaron? And their zchus is so great. If their zchus indeed is so great, in Kain Eichotu, how did they sin? How could they slip up on these things? This wonder requires some sort of explanation. Now, what he then does, the Michtam Elio, is he tells us what Chazal tell us that they did wrong. And he goes through and he collects from Midrashim, the Medrash Tanchuma, the Medrash Rabbah, all the various things that Chazal lists. Now, I've listed them here. Aleph. Let's go through them. Shehoiru halacha b'fnei Rabbah. The first thing they did, say Chazal, is that they paskened in front of their rabbonim, i.e. Moshe and Aaron. Base. Al hakriva shenichnusu lifnai v'lifnim. They went inside to the Kodesh Kedoshim in the Mishkan. Gimel. Al hakrova shekrivu korban shalim stavu. They offered up a korban which they were not commanded to do. Dalet. Al eish zara. This strange fire. What does that mean? Eish mi beis kiraim hichnisu. They should have just brought eish from the Mizbeach, but instead they brought eish from their own ovens in their own homes. Hey, ya'an shalei notlu eitzah zeh mizeh. Nodav and Avihu didn't consult each other. Vov, al-shehayu shesuyei yayin. Another chazal tells us that they drank wine, they were intoxicated when they came inside. Zayin, al-shehayu mechusrei begadim. Another indictment is that they were lacking the begodim that they should have worn. What was that? Umayim achaseirin, me'il. They weren't wearing the me'il, which we'll explain soon, because they were not kohanim gedolim. The me'il is specifically the kohen gadol. We'll talk about that. Ches, al shenichnasu b'lo rechitis yadayim v'raglayim. They went into the Mishkan without doing rechitza, washing their hands and feet from the kiyah, as they're meant to do. Tes, al shelo hayu lohem bonim. They didn't have children. They haven't been mekayim the mitzvah of puravu. Yud al shelo hayolehem noshim. They didn't have. They didn't get married. They didn't have wives. Omru. They said, Achi avinu melech. Our father's brother is melech. Moshe Rabbeinu. Avinu kohen gadol. Our father is the kohen gadol. Onu skanei kohanim. We are the skan kohanim. So we are very miyuchas. Our father's brother is the king. Our father is the Kohen Gadol. We're the Sgan Kohanim. Eze Isha Higenes Lano. Who are we going to find who's a suitable match for us? Yud Aleph, the 11th indictment that they did. Asher Hayu Moshe Aaron Holchim Techila. When Moshe and Aaron were walking at the front of the procession, V'Nadav Aviyu Mahalchim Acharehem, and Nadav and Aviyu were walking behind them, V'Omrim, and they said, Mosai Shnei Zekenim Halalu Mesim. When are these two elders going to die? V'Anu Nagim Shrar Latzibra, and we can take charge. And that's how the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings it in Dafman Beis. And then he adds on, Reb Yudin B'Shem Reb Eivu Omar B'Fneihem Omru Zeh L'Zeh. They said that in front of them, so they heard it. And Reb Pinchas Omer B'Libam Hirhoru. That they only thought it. Okay, that's 11. Yud Beis. Vayechezu Eselikim Vayechlu Vayishtu. They sort of, they saw Hashem, and yet they ate and they drank. Gisu Libam V'Zonu Eneim in Ashchina. They were sort of, had a certain arrogance that they feasted their eyes on the Shchina. Yud Gimel. Inyan Eish Zara, Ramas Ramban, the Ramban hints in Beparsha Shmini, the Dvar of Sasumin, but his words are quite cryptic. Ubiram Rikanti Ein Sham, and the Rikanti elaborates on the words of the Ramban, the Teichin Ho'inyan, and says the Desla, the essence of what he says is this: Shehoyelohim Lechavin Hashem Hamyuchot. They should have somehow been Mechavin intended to use the Midas HaRachamim. The Shem HaMiyuchud, he says, is the Midas HaRachamim. V'heim kivnu l'Midas HaDin. But rather, they intended to focus on Midas HaDin. V'hainu Eish Zara. That's Pshat Eish Zara. What does that mean? Eish is Midas HaDin, is the strict judgment. Tachas Ishe L'Reach Nechoyach, which is Midas HaRachamim. They should have instead used an Ishe Reach Nechoyach, which is Midas HaRachamim. V'alkein kosu v'yasimo leho alo Eish, b'chinu Midas HaDin, v'loi alehen ala machtois. Again, it's alluded to the fact that they were mechaven to din and not to rachamim. Because they thought they were on such a high level, they didn't need midas rachamim. Below siyur rachamim, they could sort of, get by midas din because there was no lack. And then Yudalad Yutesvavi brings two others. The point is, you'll see over Shabbos and you'll read, whenever you explore Parsha Shmini, people will give different reasons. But it's nice to see the Michtav Menyo lists all 15 reasons that Chazal bring in various places as to what they did wrong. Now, what he then does, and again, I've taken out the key parts, but what Rav Dessler then does is find a common denominator between all 15 of the reasons. So if you look at the top of the next page, Sheirish Echol L'chol Chatei Nodav Aviyu. There is one root source for all of the sins. L'chayra. Chatoim Rabim V'Sheinim Monu Kan Chazal. Chazal lists many various indictments. Ulo, Klal Godelhu. There is a general rule. Kashech Chazal Oimrim Deus Sheinis Bin Yoni Agada. When Chazal give different opinions in Agadata, Hari Kulon Meiris Oisin Oisim Itzodim Sheinim Bechina Sheinis. They're all true. They're just shedding different light from different angles on this picture. So all 15 are somehow true. Kashenis amik b'chol divri chazal hanal. And when you explore and delve into these 15 reasons, nimtza, it turns out, it appears, she'sheresh echot hoya l'chol prate ha'chatoim oilu. There is one root cause. She'resh chetom hoya she'legoydel erchom. Commensurate to their very lofty level, hoy chaserim b'shleimus midas hanova. They were lacking a degree of humility. Chisoron zeh bo begarmas ruma losom. And that lack was because of their very lofty level. Shehistamchu yoysel hamidah shel goyd madrigosom. They relied on their very lofty level. Dovo zen ispah medirim Ramban v'azoy hanal. That emerges from the Ramban and the Zohar and other sources. Haramban bia, next paragraph. Haramban bia. Shekivnu b'karbonom limidas hadin. They intended with their carbon to align themselves to midas hadin, v'load midas harachamim, and not to sort of invoke midas harachamim. V'nevayat dvarav. Let's explain their words. V'Chofetz Chaim heir b'biru l'teres kahanim shom. That the Chofetz Chaim elaborates on this in his pirush in the Teres Kahanim. Ki ulay meisu Moshe v'Aaron b'chayehem, because had Moshe and Aaron died, they would have been valid next generation leaders of the Jewish people. Dardeo, this unbelievable generation, the Dardeo. That's what it says. When they anointed Elazar for the summer, it follows the beginning of the pasuk, which says, which suggests, Sheim hayu Nadav Aviyu b'chayim, had Nadav and Aviyu been alive, they would have been the leaders. So it's true. They thought because they were on such a high level, they didn't need midas harachamim. And they weren't scared of any flaw. And they thought they could get by with their standard alone. You know, it's midas hadin. We need rachamim. It's impossible to live with midas hadin. Midas hadin is strict judgment. You put one foot wrong, you're out. There's no wiggle room. The way Rabbi Harman always gives the mashal, that if you're sitting at a table, you're a guest at somebody's home. And imagine your host is sitting over there and your hostess is sitting over there and you're in the middle. And let's say the hostess says to you, excuse me, can you pass the salt? And you look at her and say, excuse me, I'm eating. Can you leave me alone? And she looks at her husband a bit strange. And then he says to the guest, can you pass the Coke, please? And he says, look, I'm not passing the salt. I'm not passing the Coke. Just leave me alone. The likelihood that guy will never be invited back. An unusual guest. One foot out, you're wrong. You're off. Well, midas hadin, that's what midas hadin dictates. Midas haracham means there's flexibility, there's room for leniency. That's what it is. Why is the rainbow a sign of midas hadin? When rain comes, the seen through the prism, if the sun shines, well, when do you have a rainbow? When it's raining and at the same time there's sunshine. What does the sun do? It takes that little raindrop and it breaks it down into various colors, into its seven, into Roy Gabiv, right? The different colors. Midas Hadin puts you under the spotlight. And not many people can withstand the scrutiny of being under the spotlight. That's what it does. And therefore, they thought that there was no chisaron. We can cope with this lofty level of midas hadin. But they needed rachamim. And the truth is, there's precedent for that. If you look at the end of the last paragraph in that box B, Obeemes gam Yaakov vino l'vasham bikesh b'tfilos v'shiz gale kabbalah kol midas hadin. That was Yaakov vino's tefillah as well. K'meshe kosov, like it says in the pasuk, V'hoya Hashem lila lakim, V'hoya Hashem is midas harachamim, lila lakim midas hadin. I.e., that Yaakov also wanted to live on that very lofty level of midas hadin. And they acted on it. Nadav and Aviyu thought they were on that level. And the truth is, they were not wrong. They sort of preempted it. They were a little bit too. They weren't ready for it fully. And because there was a little bit of a chisor and there was a little flaw, then that manifested itself in lots of different ways. Now, if that's the case, if the root problem is anova, we can now go through the 15 and we can see their problem. We can see the issues. Let's go through. Number one, Shehoru Halach Bifnei Rabba. Well, if you're lacking a little bit of anova, then you're going to paskin in front of someone who's greater than you. You won't hold back. Al hakriva shenichnasu lifnai v'lifnim. You feel comfortable. If you're lacking, if you have anova, you're a little bit more reluctant to go lifnai v'lifnim. You're not going to push yourself forward so quickly. Gimel. Al hakrova shekrivu karban shenichnasu. They offered up something they weren't commanded. That's a degree of arrogance. Again, lefi madrigoso. The point is that the root error was that they were lacking a little bit of anova. They were on a very lofty level. They thought they can aspire and live by midas hadin, which is like living on the fast lane. But if you're living on the fast lane, there's no room for error. And they didn't appreciate that they weren't quite ready for it yet. They were lacking a little bit of anova, and therefore they weren't ready for midas hadin. Yaakov Avinu was on such a level that he said, for holy lelekim, that I want to live on this level of midas hadin. And he could do it. But the Nadav and Aviyu, they chose to live on that level because they overestimated exactly, because there was only a tiny trace of anova that was lacking. a tiny trace of gaiva that was there, and therefore that. But the point is that they weren't ready. They were sort of preempted it, and therefore they slipped. But the interesting thing is, when you have a root problem, let's say of anova, it will manifest itself in all different ways. So you go through what Chazal say. The root problem in every single one is a lack of anova. So, for example, al eish zara, eish mebeis kiraim hichnisu. Again, if you have a certain yira, a certain respect, you're not going to bring fire from your own oven. Ya'an ashel notlu eitz azumizu. They didn't consult each other. You only consult each other when when there is a degree of anivus. You know, Rabbi Twersky once writes, I once read something from him that he once, when he was an intern or a junior, very junior doctor studying psychiatry, he gets a call from the great professor. And he said, I understand you've got experience in this particular area. I'd like to ask your advice. And he thought, wow, a little me. The great professor is asking me. It's easy to ask someone who's way junior than you. That is already a level. But it's easier to ask someone who's a lot junior to you. But to ask someone on your level, you need an even higher degree of anova. And though not creates a zemizet. Now, vav shesuya yayin. And now, if you turn back to the paragraph C on the second page, adai lo ne'asar, shesuya yayin was not yet prohibited, because it's only later in the parsha which there's the whole parsha of shesuya yayin. So va'afa pikein, but still says the Michtam Elio, ilu hishtamshu biyira, had they had the requisite degree of yira, hayu nimnoi milikonis afilu achar vis yayin, they would have known that it's not appropriate to drink. There's a certain sensitivity. You know, there's to the makom, to the place. You don't drink before you go there. Zayin, mechusre bigodim, and this is very interesting. Chisoran hameil, why dafka the meil? Shenem aboy, because it says about the meil, for hoyal aron asharis v'nishma koylei, shepa'amoyne hameil boim laharchik es midas hadin. The whole purpose of the meil, it has bells on it, it's to be marchik midas hadin, pirush, shekol ha'pa'amoynim yu'eres ha'koyen ha'god le'yira p'nimis. It's to encourage a person to have yira, remember where you're going. You are walking in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a radioactive, spiritually radioactive place. Sheloi titein achiza l'midas hadin, that that midas hadin shouldn't grasp onto them. That's what the bells on the mil are meant to forewarn. Hainu, im gam shahayu kohane hejot, she'im lo shemil, like we said before. True, they were kohanim hejotos, they were not kohanim gedolim. Ram hoisa chasera lohem be consum lehagdir akteris oisa yir primishim esaras adim il. The point is that they were lacking the item that the me'il was going to prevent. In other words, the me'il is meant to warn a person. Remember, you are in the Beis HaMikdash. There's yira. This is radioactive. You've got to be very careful. The lack of the me'il, even though they couldn't wear the me'il, represents the fact that they were too blasé about walking around the Beis HaMikdash. And then lastly, Chisorin. Sorry? They weren't allowed to wear it, but when it says they were Mechusa Begodim, it means that they were lacking the function of the Me'il. In other words, that you're right, they're Kohanim Hejotas, they're not going to wear the Me'il. But the fact they could walk around with I wouldn't say blasé, that's a bit too heavy, but they were with a certain confidence, with a lack of trepidation of walking in this holy place, shows that they were missing the lesson of the meal. That's what it means. What is the meal there? It has pamonim to remind you, trepidation, walk carefully. And therefore, that's what it means by mechuzim. Not they actually didn't have them, because they weren't meant to wear them. And then, of course, chisrei bonim and chisrei noshim, well, that's clear. That's, you know, you go through the others. They were, who's worthy to marry us? That also is a degree of gaiva. They're lacking a little bit of anova. And bottom as well, he explains. Okay, but what's fascinating, we have to press on, but what's fascinating is that midas are so, we have to be so self-aware. When there's one little pagam, there's one little lack, it can manifest itself in 1,000 different ways. And a person has to be very self-aware about his own midas, that he's got to walk with care, because a lack of anova could manifest itself in, like he says, in these 15 different ways. A person has any other root problem, whatever it may be. That's why midas is everything. It's the foundations of everything, and a lack is going to cause chaos all over the place. Okay, so either way, we'll finish off just one other idea. But just concerning this idea of Nodu Navi, I think it's fascinating that A, he takes together these 15 different ideas, he collates them, which itself is fascinating, and B, he comes back to the problem. Chazal speak in the highest of praise of Nodav and Avihu. They clearly are like Moshe and Aaron, the Mimeni Gedolim, Mimeni Yom Mekah. We lay in the parasha of Nodav and Avihu on Rim Kippur in order to be Mechaper. And they were Mechaper not just on that generation, but on every generation. That's why we lay in it on Yom Kippur afternoon. And so how can we square that? The answer is, of course, they were very, very great. But one tiny error is going, and they were not holding by living on Mitzadin, and they needed Rachamim, but because they sort of overestimated their own status, that lack of Anova manifested itself in all these different areas. So a very, very interesting essay of Rav Dessler regarding the death of Nodav and Avihu. Let me just finish with one idea related to the rest of the parasha. The rest of the parasha largely deals with kashrus, all the various kosher and non-kosher animals. And there is a very, very famous idea regarding the chasidah. The chasidah is the stork. And it's quoted always in the name of the Chiddush Arim. So I got the Chiddush Arim ala Torah, and I thought we'd just go through this little piece and I'll share with you a fabulous story that relates to it. The Chiddush Arim says the following. If you look at the last box, paragraph 2. Pirish Rashi. The Lama Nikra Shmo Chasida. Why is the stork, why is the Chasida called the Chasida? She'ese Chasida, she'ese Chasidus im Chavruseha b'mzoinus. That this stork is a very kind animal. It does chesed with its friends, with food. It helps out and gives food to its friends. Says the Chiddush Arim V'kasha. If that's the case, there's a problem. Lama hi nechsheves ka'if tome. If the Chasida, the stork, is so kind, why is it therefore considered a non-kosher animal? Because it does chesed with its friends. V'haloi, lefi ha-Ramban, the Ramban famously says, she'ha'ofes tameim heim b'shvil ha'achzori shelohem. How do we know which animals are kosher and not kosher? So the Ramban says, because the ofes tameim, the non-kosher birds, have a streak of cruelty. So where does the chasida fit in? The chasida is a very kind animal. Its name denotes its kindness. The chasida, it does chesed in chavruseho. So why, therefore, shouldn't it be kosher? That's the famous kasha. Says the Chiddush Arim, last sentence. Upirshu, and the explanation is this. Ya'an shi oisa chesed rak im chavruseho. The reason is because it only does chesed with its kind. Umi she'ena me chavruseho, ein hi oizeres. But anyone who's not in that circle won't bother. He won't give any help. Afidu b'ma'at, even a little bit. Even with a little bit of food. Because of that, because the chesed is limited to its chavrusel, to its own kind, its own circle, and not beyond, therefore it fits in very squarely with the Ramban's definition. That's called achzarius. So I tell you a fabulous story I just came across. That Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, yeah, the great Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas, in America, he died in 1986, one of the beloved Torah personalities of the last century. So in 1955, the Pesach Kron tells this story, he was called to adjudicate over a Din Torah in some out-of-town place. And he, although of course he spoke English, he felt that he needed a translator, someone who could speak properly so he could fully understand what the two sides were saying. So he called one of his Talmidim, and Rabbi Weisberger, who then worked for Torah Masorah. And he said, listen, I've got this Din Torah, I've got to leave early on Sunday morning, would you be willing to come with me to help me to translate? So this guy, to spend some time with his Rebbe, his Rosh Hashiva, he would be delighted. Yeah, with pleasure, of course. So the Rosh Hashiva said, good, I had anticipated that, I've already bought you the ticket. Fine, let's meet at Penn Station, the big station in America, 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Motzei Shabbos, Rabbi Yaakov calls this fellow, and says, I've just remembered, you're in Shana Rishona, right? He said, yeah. So he said, listen, it's not straightforward that you can be away from your wife for a day or two, however long they're going to be away. Maybe she should come with. And whilst we're involved in the Din Torah, I'll get someone there to show her the city or to stay with her. I'll check with my wife. She comes out, yeah, she'd be delighted to come. Rabbi Yaakov says, great, I anticipated that, I've got a ticket for her. And they meet the next morning at Penn Station at 7 o'clock. He says afterwards, this Weisberger, that he had bought the ticket, because if they had waited to get to buy the ticket at the station, then he would have insisted on paying, and he didn't want this young man to pay, so he bought the ticket beforehand. Fine. He gets to the station at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning at Penn Station, and Rabbi Yaakov, who was a very sort of upbeat, positive person, looked haggard and exhausted. So his Talmud said to him, Roshiva, you look very tired. Is everything okay? So he said, look, I'll tell you what happened last night. He said, it was very, very hot. There was no air conditioning in those days, or very little. I had to sleep with the window open. And because we were meeting at Penn Station at 7 in the morning, I had a certain seder. I needed to get up very early. I had to set my alarm for 4 o'clock in the morning. I know my neighbor, a non-Jewish, a very fine non-Jewish person, is a very light sleeper. If I set my alarm for 4 o'clock in the morning, it will wake me up, and it will wake him up as well. I couldn't do that to him. So I stayed up last night. I learned, I prepared my shurim, and that's why I'm very tired. Now that's godless. Sensitivity is not just to your wife, and not just to your immediate circle, but even to the non-Jewish neighbor next door. I'm sensitive to his lack of sleep. He says Sunday morning is the one day he gets to sleep in, and I should deprive him of that. Can you imagine? You can stay up all night to display that sensitivity to a non-Jewish neighbor. Remarkable. And that's really the vata, the chassidah. So why is it called a chassidah? Because taki das chassidus im chavruseha. But it's limited to that circle. Beyond, anyone beyond that circle, it doesn't do it. And therefore, that's achzoris. That's why the Ramban, and it fits in very, very squarely to what the Ramban says, that the ophis tameim, the non-kosher birds, have a streak of achzoris, and the stork, the chassidah, therefore fits under that category.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.